Coming up later on this week, on May 10th, which is tomorrow, lawyer is going to be in court in Richmond, Virginia, arguing over SB 2, Senate Bill 2. This is the so-called magistrate recusal bill that was passed by the General Assembly. That's the law that allows magistrates and registers of deeds to recuse themselves from performing marriage ceremonies if they have a religious objection to same-sex marriage. The case is Ansley v. Warren, Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals is going to be hearing oral arguments on it this week. And we are joined now on the air by one of the attorneys representing the plaintiffs challenging the law. Megan Burke is an attorney with Brazil and Burke out of Asheville. She also works with the Campaign for Southern Equality, one of the interest groups that's helping organize the lawsuit against SB 2. Megan joins us now by phone from Virginia, where the court is about to hear arguments later on this week. Megan, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Aaron. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So what is the state of the case right now? Fourth Circuit is going to be hearing oral arguments later on this week, but what has happened so far up to now?
That's exactly right. So we filed our lawsuit early 2016, and the state of North Carolina moved to dismiss it on several grounds, but a hearing was held in August in Asheville, and Judge Max Cogburn dismissed our lawsuit, finding that we did not have standing to pursue our claims. We obviously do think we have standing and filed an appeal. That is what is being argued tomorrow in the Fourth Circuit, is whether or not these plaintiffs have standing to challenge Senate Bill 2.
And we'll get to standing in a second, but the argument against Senate Bill 2, again, this is the bill that allows magistrates to recuse themselves from performing marriage ceremonies if they have a religious objection. A number of constitutional provisions are sort of in question, and looking at the brief that was filed, it's the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, it's the Due Process Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. So spell out the arguments, the constitutional arguments against the magistrate recusal bill for us.
That's exactly right. So we have, as you noted, filed several claims, but the one we're really focused on is the First Amendment Establishment Clause claim. And we contend that the expenditure of taxpayer funds to further a religious purpose clearly violates the Establishment Clause, which prohibits the state from endorsing or establishing a particular religious view or religion in general. And so that's the strength of the merits in our claim, and we certainly hope we can reach that stage even in the Fourth Circuit.
What about the Equal Protection Clause?
We did file that claim and still think that there's a lot of merit to that, and we argued that in the trial court. We do think there's an equal protection claim here, but we abandoned that issue on appeal, partly because we think we're really on strong footing on the First Amendment taxpayer standing grounds. At this point, the interesting thing is that part of the way the law was written, it sort of was drafted in such a way to avoid an equal protection challenge. We certainly know that there are some issues that motivated the passage of this law, but given that the magistrate recusals are confidential, no one can find out which magistrates have recused themselves. We've not yet found anyone who's been denied a marriage license or a civil marriage ceremony, and that's partly the what would give rise to an equal protection claim. So we've abandoned that issue on appeal.
But we're speaking with Megan Burke, who's an attorney with Brazil and Burke out of Asheville, and with the Campaign for Southern Equality, one of the attorneys that's going to be arguing before the Fourth Circuit tomorrow, right, in Richmond?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
We'll be fourth up to argue, and so Luke Largess out of Tin Fulton, Walker, and Owen will be taking the lead on oral arguments. And we're also joined by Jake Sussman and Cheyenne Chambers out of Charlotte.
So let's talk about the standing. There's three couples that are filing this lawsuit and challenging SB 2. Two of them are already married. One of them is engaged. What is it? Why did those three couples decide to file the lawsuit in particular?
That's a great question. So that's right. We represent three plaintiff couples. One of the couples lives in Swain County. Another couple lives in McDowell County. And the interesting thing about McDowell is that all the magistrates recuse themselves from doing civil marriage ceremonies. And so that's where we really saw Senate Bill 2 come alive and come into effect, because the AOC, Administrative Office of Courts, did in fact expend funds pursuant to the legislative mandate to spend funds to move magistrates, oath-abiding, willing magistrates from Rutherford County, to travel up the mountain to McDowell 3 days a week to conduct these civil marriage ceremonies. And then, of course, the persons are a really interesting plaintiff couple, we think. They're an interracial couple who back in the 70s, tried to get married, and unfortunately they were denied by a magistrate who read the Bible to them and had a religious objection to interracial marriage. And so they had to sue in federal court, and they sued successfully. They won the right to marry and the right to have a magistrate conduct their civil marriage ceremony. And here we are again, some 30, 40 years later, on virtually identical facts. And we really applaud them for being willing to come forward and unfortunately have to litigate the exact same issue all over again.
I was talking about the persons yesterday on the air. This is a really fascinating story that, again, you know, you forget about history and you end up repeating it. It's exactly what's happening here. But this is a couple that had to fight for 2 years in the courts in order to get married and weren't able to get married until a federal judge intervened on their behalf. And all of this took place 10 years after the Supreme Court struck down laws against interracial marriage in the Loving v. Virginia case. We just had the movie come out last year talking about this great Supreme Court case and how great it is the Supreme Court weighed in and settled the issue, but it was still being litigated 10 years later. And like you said, we're still having this exact same issue today.
That's exactly right. And you know, one of the things that isn't as talked about as much with Senate Bill 2 is that the way the law is written, it allows a magistrate to recuse himself for, quote, any sincerely held religious belief. Now, we know that because of the context of the passage of this law, that it was a direct reaction to marriage equality. But the reality is that the way the law is written, it would allow any magistrate, for the same reasons as back in the 70s, who had a religious objection to interracial marriage, to recuse himself from doing his job. And so that's why I think the persons are, in fact, a powerful plaintiff in this case, because, as it's been said before, those who ignore their history are doomed to repeat it.
And getting back to the standing question, I know one of the fundamental principles of the law is you have to be affected by a law directly in order to be able to file suit against it. That's the whole idea behind standing. So the fact that so far we haven't had any couples that have explicitly been denied the right to get married is an issue, but you mentioned McDowell County, where you've got every single magistrate that's recused themselves, at least at a certain point, were trucking in people from other counties in order to perform ceremonies. This is costing the county money, it's costing the state money, and that money gets passed along to the taxpayers. So in that sense, you've got taxpayers paying for what is effectively a law that privileges one religion or one religious belief over another. Is that right?
That's exactly right. In fact, Aaron, you could teach a first-year law student class on standing. It's a very complicated doctrine, but it does. It boils down to a person who brings a lawsuit has to have been the person who is injured. In this case, our clients are funding the regime of discrimination against themselves. We certainly think that constitutes a cognizable constitutional injury. And under the First Amendment, the case law is pretty clear that a taxpayer should not be funded, should not be forced to fund the establishment of religion. And so that's where the injury comes in. And we think we're on very strong legal and factual grounds to bring this lawsuit for those reasons.
Speaking with Megan Burke, and again, the oral arguments are going to be heard by the Fourth Circuit up in Richmond tomorrow. Megan, before we let you go, what is the expected time frame on when you'll hear a decision and what happens after this, depending on what the ruling ends up being?
That's right. So we expect a decision from the Fourth Circuit, usually somewhere between 2 to 4 months from the oral argument. Certainly expect this panel is going to think carefully about these complicated legal issues and have a lot to discuss and digest after the argument tomorrow. We're certainly hopeful that we'll win. And if we win, the case will be remanded to the trial court and the case would be allowed to proceed. We'd be able to do discovery. And at some point, the case may be heard again, either at summary judgment or trial by Judge Max Coughlin.
There's one couple, Kelly and Sonia, that are engaged. They are planning on getting married before all of this is done, right? They're not waiting.
That's right.
Because it's a couple-year process if it all goes through, right?
It is a very long process indeed. Certainly filed a lawsuit some time ago, and we would anticipate that any final resolution of the case in the trial court will probably lead to more appeals. And so it could well be a year or two or three before we have a final resolution of Senate Bill 2.
We'll keep following it all. Megan Burke, again, Brazil and Burke in Asheville, Campaign for Southern Equality. Southernequality.org, if you're listening out there and you want to find out more about this case. We've also got the brief that they've posted on that website as well. So go to southernequality.org and find out more about that. Megan, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Aaron.